From KTOO in Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea with this news. Alaska's first Ironman triathlon was in Juneau on Sunday. More than 700 athletes finished the race. The first across the finish line was Alex Wetman of Riverton, Utah. It took him 9 hours, 11 minutes, and 17 seconds. That's to swim 1.2 miles in Auk Lake, bike 112 miles on Glacier Highway, and run a full 26-mile marathon through the Mendenhall Valley. Liz Cullen of Gibson, British Columbia, was the top female finisher with a time of 10 hours, 23 minutes, and 3 seconds. Several dozen locals raced and finished as well. The first person from Juneau to finish was Will Coleman, who was 14th overall. Beth Golan was Juneau's first female finisher and 13th female overall. John Bursell was Juneau's second finisher. He's completed several Ironman races in the past and met his goal this time to qualify for the Ironman World Championship event in Hawaii in October.
It was a great experience overall. I think Ironman did a great job. I was super impressed and proud of Juneau. You know, the way people turned out, the support was incredible, the volunteers were incredible, and we heard that over and over again from people who came from out of town to compete. This was basically the most supportive community they've ever raced in.
Purcell says locals volunteered, loaned out their own personal bikes, opened up their homes to house athletes, even offered free car rides around town. According to a press release from Ironman, more than 1,400 people volunteered. The event had a lot of challenges. Race officials cut the swim portion in half due to the cold water temperatures in Auk Lake. Before the race even began, logistics issues drove down turnout. In a press release, Ironman said approximately 1,000 athletes came to Juneau for the event. An official list dated from April had identified more than 1,300 participants. Juneau's destination marketing organization, Travel Juneau, worked closely with race organizers. Executive Director Liz Perry says there will be a full debrief to work on making the second Ironman Alaska event go smoother. Perry says there's a 3-year contract, meaning Ironman Alaska will be back in Juneau in 2023 and 2024. In July, a Wyoming couple found a time capsule at Mendenhall Lake in Juneau. It had note cards inside written by kids, dated from 2006. KTOO's Yvonne Crumry has the story.
Kara Willis and her husband Tyler used to spend evenings at the Mendenhall Glacier a decade ago when they worked summers in Juneau. They live in Wyoming now, but they were visiting in July and reliving old memories at the glacier. That's when they found a water bottle on the shore of the lake.
It was just floating in the water, and we're like, oh, there's garbage. You know, we get it out of the water. But then I said, there's something in it. There's something inside.
Tyler opened the bottle. Inside were 11 notes written by kids back in 2006.
And I mean, when we saw this, these children's handwriting and the date, like the year 2006.
Yeah. Over and over.
And these sweet little facts about the kids. It was so special.
Each card has a different first name and what appear to be facts about the kids or memories they have from their first 9 or so years on Earth.
Zori, Juneau, Alaska, 2006, 9 years old. Number one was getting to ski ptarmigan. Number two was, it says, got Tapo toys for Christmas. And three is getting an IV in my head.
Zori Oberle is 25 years old now and lives in Salt Lake City. She says the IV in her head was a dehydration treatment she got as a small child after she was adopted from China.
I unfortunately do not remember anything about this. I had several people like message me and like, oh, is this you? And I was like, no way, that is me.
If Oberle were to write a note in a time capsule now, she would tell her future self what to do.
Just stay like scheming for adventure and maybe, I guess, travel to China. And three, maybe like learn to surf.
The Willises handed the time capsule over to staff at the Mendenhall Glacier Visitor Center, where it's being kept. Tyler speculated that someone in the group threw the bottle onto the glacier itself, and it floated out to the lake with the meltwater.
It was quite soggy when I got it, but we were luckily, it's in pretty good condition, so you're able to still read everything.
Julia Spofford is an assistant director for the Visitor Center.
We do want to make sure there's good messaging about Leave No Trace. And while we love finding things like this at the glacier, that, you know, these moments of history, we hope to not find too many more.
Her advice for future time capsules is to bury them at home. For their part, the Willises are glad to have found it. They're both teachers with a 9-year-old of their own. They say they feel invested. In Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumry.
The 2022 Alaska Federation of Natives Convention will be in person for the first time in 3 years this fall. The annual 3-day gathering of the state's largest Alaska Native organization was held virtually since 2020 due to COVID-19. The last in-person convention was in 2019 in Fairbanks. AFN represents members from 11 of the 12 regional Alaska Native corporations and more than 191 federally recognized tribes. This year's convention begins October 20th at the Denaina Center in Anchorage. The theme for this year's gathering will be Celebrating Our Unity. Indigenous leaders are voicing frustration after two parents sued Ketchikan School District over the use of tribal values within a local school. And the meaning of one particular value is prompting disagreement. KRBD's Reagan Miller has the story.
When Richard Peterson looks at the list of 14 traditional tribal values, he doesn't see anything exclusive to one religion. As the president of the Central Council of Tlingit and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska, the tribe that created the list in 2004, he believes the opposite.
They're inclusive and about, you know, literally one of them is holding each other up. I think if you go down the values, it's hard to take issues with any of them. I would imagine if they do, it may be the one around creator. But I think that's a personal one to anybody.
Peterson was talking about one of the 14 values on the list, reverence for our creator. He says Southeast Alaska tribes don't have a common religion, and the value means something different to everyone.
You know, I know what it means for me, and, you know, again, make it personal to yourself. If you are atheist, make it about your parents or ignore it. I think there's room for values that we don't always necessarily fully adopt.
It's at the center of the lawsuit filed by Justin Brees and Rebecca King. King and Brees argue that the value is clearly a religious statement, and that makes it inappropriate for a public school. The parents are suing Ketchikan School District and Ketchikan Charter School for posting the values in hallways and common areas and for using them as part of a behavioral reward program. They argue it's a violation of the First Amendment and Alaska's state constitution.
But we don't think that the school district should be speaking to any type of spiritual or religious type value. Those type of values are things that are best passed down in a family where your parents teach the students about their religious and spiritual beliefs. And that's not the place of government.
Brees says he doesn't object to the value being included in lessons about Alaska Native culture. But he says posting the values in classrooms and hallways strips out necessary context.
On the list, and that list is posted everywhere, and you're pulling items off the list, the student reads the whole list. So it's hard for me to see how a student could make the distinction between whether this is a value that I need to follow and is endorsed by the school district and is actual creationism or not.
Peterson says he's open to a conversation about the meaning of creator, but he doesn't believe that a lawsuit is the right way to do it. He says he doesn't understand why the parents take issue with the values being posted in school.
It's hard not to feel like this might have some bearings in racism. I don't like to leap to that conclusion, but, you know, it's hard to find when you go down this list of values where we can't all, no matter what our cultural background, find a way to connect to those.
The lawsuit was filed in Ketchikan Superior Court July 25th and was assigned to Judge Catherine Librand. Ketchikan School District has yet to respond in court. Reporting in Ketchikan, I'm Reagan Miller.
The Alaska Department of Corrections says a man being held at an Anchorage prison has died. The department says 34-year-old Austin Earl Wilson was pronounced dead on Friday at the Anchorage Correctional Complex. The department says no foul play is suspected in the death. Wilson is the seventh person to die in the department's custody this year. The cause of death was not provided. The Anchorage Daily News reports that two Anchorage police officers violated department policy during a traffic stop last month. That's when a woman in town for a rally by former President Donald Trump showed a white privilege card instead of a driver's license. The woman was not ticketed However, it's not clear what policy was violated or what disciplinary actions, if any, the officers faced, because the department is treating it as a confidential personnel matter. Mimi Israela says she was heading for a pizza after arriving in Anchorage when she was pulled over for weaving. She couldn't find her license, but handed a novelty white privilege card to officers. A video she shot shows one of the officers replying, quote, "That's hilarious." And finally, demolition began last week on a once opulent downtown Anchorage movie theater designed by the architect of Hollywood's famed Pantages Theater. The 4th Avenue Theater, with nearly 1,000 seats, opened in 1947. The Art Deco Theater became the centerpiece of the downtown historic district. The building's current owners say bringing the building back to a usable venue after sitting vacant for more than 15 years is too costly. Instead, building owners Derek Chang and Terrence Chang say they will attempt to salvage the artwork inside the building and the iconic 4th Avenue Art Deco neon sign and incorporate them into a new redevelopment plan. Quick look at National Weather Service forecast for the area. Tonight, partly cloudy, patchy fog, lows around 50. Tuesday, mostly sunny, patchy fog, highs around 60. And that is it for the KTOO News Update for Monday, August 8th, 2022. I'm Jeremy Shea. Thanks for listening.